Listosun MMA.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You got your mind? What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you, as ever, by the AMP Radio Network. We thank you very much for listening. If you're brand new here, this particular show we like to call hashtag SmackMyPicksUp. That's basically AMP Radio's pick show. I am usually joined by the usual cast of characters, but I am not joined tonight by the usual cast of characters. But if you're new, you don't know who those people are. So let's get right into it right now. I am joined by the first lady of AMP Radio. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Snap out of it!
Hey. Hi, guys.
What's going on, Pammy?
We are having a heat wave. We're having a heat wave. However rest the song goes.
Yeah,
but it's been hot as you know what out here. But great and just a fun weekend of fights last weekend. So let's talk some fights.
All right. I'm not too sure that there was a great weekend of fights last weekend.
Oh,
but I'm sure you did because you had a visitor. So let's talk about that real quickly before we bring in the star of the show. How was Lerone on the visit?
Oh, we had a blast. Well, him and Paul went shooting, so they went to the range and got some gun therapy. And then I made my famous paella, and we just had a good time. I mean, just watched fights all weekend. It was, we just had fun. We're nerdy like that.
Well, good. I'm glad to
hear
that.
And we had a good time. Yeah. We were missing Showtime.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
And then Vegas in a week from tomorrow.
That's right. So everybody, if you're not following Pam, follow her at PamDoraBoxx. Correct, Pam?
Yep, two X's.
All righty. Let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show as soon as I can find his intro music. Usually we're also joined by the boss man himself, DJ Tony, but unfortunately he's not able to be with us tonight because, you know, sometimes life gets in the way. So let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show. Deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, Bros. I got a new roof.
Oh, you got a new roof? What kind of roof did you get?
Well, my old Tiger Strike shingle got all damaged by all the stupid hail and the bad weather here in Texas. So, new roof. It looks nice.
Where's your roof
right
on fire?
No,
the roof!
Get it?
We don't need the water. Let the motherfucker burn.
Right? The roof. The roof. The roof is on fire. Okay.
I tore the roof down. I tore the roof down. That was awesome.
Oh, Marco tore it down. I love it. I love it.
Let's
you tore the roof
MMA.
Off the sucker?
Let's talk some MMA. Let's talk some MMA.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and cue that music, DJ Tony. We are here tonight to go ahead and talk about Smack My Picks Up, the UFC on ESPN3. I told you guys I would not say these names, but unfortunately, DJ Tony sent me the email for tonight, and that's what it says. We are no longer counting fight names. But it is important to log that it is on ESPN proper. Maybe we have a little Fox main event controversy coming in here. I don't know. Anyway, UFC on ESPN3 is Ngannou versus Dos Santos, which will be held June 29th, 2019, at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good God,
super
granddaddy of them all. I'll tell you what. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get into this. So the heavyweight division we go. Cue that music, DJ Tony. Francis Ngannou versus, as I said earlier on, Junior Dos Santos. Let me give you guys the odds right quick before I forget, because everybody
is
making fun of me when I said exactly. So Francis Ngannou coming at us as a favorite at a minus 245, Pammy, and Junior Dos Santos coming back at us at a plus 205. So a relatively, in my opinion, close fight. We'll get Marco's opinion on those odds in a moment. But, Pammy, let's start with you. What do you got going on here in the main event? Because this one seems like a big fight, Pammy. This one, you know, we had last weekend, and not everybody was too down with the King on last weekend's UFC fight card, and the zombie came through. But this one seems to have a little excitement behind it. So I'll throw it to you, Pammy. What you got?
Well, you know what? The thing is, and I don't know if it's just me, but excitement, it's like a hidden excitement because I haven't seen, in truth, I have not seen any promos for this fight other than let me look on Twitter and see what's going on this weekend. I've not seen any kind of promo for this fight or any other fight, it just seems to me. But Francis Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos, it's an interesting fight. Both of these guys are giants. They're coming in at 6'4". I forgot to look up Dos Santos, his reach. Ngannou's got an 83-inch reach. Kickboxing and boxing, I question very highly his cardio. Has won last of his 8-10 losses to Lewis and Stipe, but that loss to Lewis, oh my God, that was like the worst fight ever. And I think maybe what a whole 10 punches was thrown in that whole fight. You're looking at Junior Dos Santos, boxing, jiu-jitsu, capoeira. He's won six of his last 10 losses to Stipe, Overeem, and Velasquez twice. And, you know, everybody is still, you know, talks about Ngannou and his, I mean, KO power. And yes, he does have that KO power, but that is it. He does have four submissions. But I don't know if it was because he's so big and just lays on people that they can't move, and that's considered a submission. But I still think that, man, you look at Junior Dos Santos, and his record is just I just think he is a little bit more talented. I think he has more experience. I think he has, like we say, more tools in the toolbox. And I think he's just quicker. I got to go with Dos Santos, underdog. I'm going to take him by, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to go with the TKO. This is 5 rounds, correct? I'm going to do a 3rd round TKO because, like I say, I question Ngannou's cardio.
Okay.
Thank you very much. TKO.
You're welcome. Let me give you that reach that you wanted on Dos Santos. Apparently on the UFC website, he's listed as a 77-inch reach.
Oh, wow. Damn. Okay.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't say inch. It just says 77.00.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Versus 83 inches for Francis Ngannou, of
course.
Sometimes
those inches don't matter, you know?
Every time we talk about inches, you always say they matter. I mean, let's go back in the – and if you haven't, ladies and gentlemen,
I mean, they do, but they don't.
Shows,
in this case, I mean, in this case, I don't know. I guess I would give it a pass. Technique. I'm going with technique. How about that? Technique over inches.
All right. Listen, Pammy, I would love to agree with you and go with the number 3, Junior Dos Santos. If only we had a shirt deal, that would be great. Against the Predator, number 2, Francis Ngannou. Guys, maybe you're going to go here as well, but I think that we have seen Francis Ngannou against high-level competition, i.e., previous champion of the division.
Stipe?
I got to look it up real quick.
Stipe.
Jesus Christ. Stipe. Holy crap. Thank you, Pam. He got embarrassed against Stipe, right? Francis got embarrassed against Stipe.
Yeah.
And like you said, Pam, the next fight that he had against the Black Beast was terrible. But then he came back and got a big win. And look at Francis Ngannou. I mean, taking on Cain Velasquez, who is a guy who can wrestle, maybe we're seeing the evolution of Francis Ngannou. But from what we've seen, Marco, in the past, high-level competition, which Junior is, right, Marco? He's just a little long in the tooth, but he's very good at what he does. He's a very good boxer. He's very good on the ground. But Francis has that big power, Marco. And I think that Francis is going to be able to get to JDS and he's going to be able to get on that chin, which has been weakened, as we have talked in plenty of other shows, research that we've already said this. JDS is kind of getting to the end of the rope, Marco. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Ngannou, and I'm going to go ahead and take him by second round KO. Marco, what you got going on here, brother, in the main event?
Okay. If you are betting the number for the underdog, you know the Santos will be a good bet. But we're picking out the winner here of the fight. And look, Dos Santos is a former champion, really good boxing for MMA. But one thing about Dos Santos is he gets touched a lot. A lot.
I mean,
it's not hard to find his face. And one thing we can tell about Ngannou is that if you decide to strike with him, you are doing it at your own peril. We have never seen Dos Santos attend a takedown. He's not a guy that attempts takedowns. If he goes to the ground, it's because he knocks you down and then he'll finish you. The wrestling part of Dos Santos is not his strong side, man. And, for better or for worse, Ngannou, the only wrestler he has lost to was Stipe Miocic. He beat Curtis Blaze, and he beat Cain Velasquez, and he beat both of those guys handily.
Yep.
Curtis Blaze twice and Velasquez, you know, just his last fight. I'm going with Ngannou, man. Don't forget that he has faced good strikers before. Enter Alistair Overeem, and he decapitated a guy. He got hand speed. He got power. And Junior Dos Santos is way too willing to engage in a freaking firefight with you. That is why he lost to Stephen Miocic in the second fight, because he was going to the legs, going to the legs, and with Stephen tried to make it a brawl, he was way too willing to engage, and he got knocked out. Ngannou is not gun-shy anymore. I think all the issues he got with Derrick Lewis are gone. And I think he knows that if he touches Dos Santos, he's going to go to sleep. I'm going to pick Ngannou by knockout on the first round in a spectacular fashion.
Okay, Pammy, I just had to put you on mute because you had some feedback on your phone.
Oh, I'm just saying that's just a spectacular as opposed to, like, unspectacular or meh.
Meh.
No, I think that Marco makes sense, though, right, Pammy? Sorry, Marco, to talk over you real quickly. I think that... So let's go ahead and move on to the flyweight division. We go cue that music, DJ Tony, Juicy A Formiga versus Joseph Benavidez. And, of course, this is in the fairy tale land of 125 pounds, Marco. I'm going to start with you. Let's throw to you what you've got going on here in the co-main event of UFC on ESPN3, brother.
He might get that fight with the Davis if he goes to one, but I don't know.
Oh, and wouldn't that be great? I mean, I would love that, wouldn't you?
Megan O'Leary works for the UFC. I mean, I need to sign with the Dana White, so I mean, that ain't happening anytime soon. But look, this fight happened 5 years ago, and then I beat the squad against Omega 5 years ago. I know it's been a long time since that fight happened. It's a new fight, but there's nothing for me to tell me that Formiga has evolved enough to beat Benavidez as of right now. Oddly enough, number one versus number two, knowing that Henry Cejudo is on the mat until 2020, you know, he went to surgery, he's not going to fight until early in 2020, this should be a freaking interim belt kind of fight for the flyweight title. In a perfect world, this should have been the interim belt title holder until Cejudo can come back. But we're on this day and age where the flyweights are still here, but they're like not really. Like, in case of emergency and we need a fight to cover something, break the glass, put a couple of flyweights, and we'll keep them there just for kicks and giggles. They're like the sideshow.
Yep.
But the division is still here. This is supposed to be for our number one contendership. Benavidez does hold a victory over Cejudo, so if he wins this fight, he can make a strong claim to work for Cejudo and finally get that third crack at the title that he deeply deserves. You know, he has been a number one or number two guy on the division for six, seven years already. I'm picking Benavidez. The last time he beat Formiga by decision, I see it's going to be the same route. I mean, Formiga is really good on the ground, but it's not as good as Benavidez in the, on the stand-up. And Benavidez is going to be able to control the fight. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be all over the place, a lot of scrambles, a lot of fast hands. Benavidez got a good chance of maybe connecting and hurting Formiga and probably even knock him out, but I want to see an entertaining fight, so that's what I'm going to pick Benavidez with a 30-27 decision.
Okay. 30-27.
By the way,
decision.
It's a shame. One more thing. It's a shame that Formiga never got a chance for the title, and I assume Benavidez is going to bury that chance with this victory on this weekend, too.
All right, Pammy, let's throw to you before I give my comments. I'm also going to give you guys the odds because neither one of you reminded me to give the odds on this fight. Thanks very much, guys.
Give us the odds, man. Give us the odds.
No.
All right, so Joseph Benavidez coming at us at the favorite at a minus 165. Of course, all of these odds coming from Five Dimes. And UCA for Mega at a plus 145, Pammy. So Marco brings up some good points about this particular fight. But again, I would like to bring back how long, you know, Benavidez has had to wait for this fight. Go ahead, Pammy.
Okay. Well, this fight, I mean, it's actually pretty close. Joseph Benavidez, 9 submissions, 11 decisions, the juicy ant, because, you know, hormiga in Spanish means ant, so, and juicy. So anyway, we'll call
Spanish
him the
word
juicy
of the day.
Ant. Yeah, the juicy ant, 10 subs and 13 decisions. So technically, these guys are both decisionators. I was looking at their records. Joseph Benavidez, last TKO, was November the 30th, 2018, against Alex Perez. Other than that, everything was a decision. Even a loss was a decision. So, you know what? I am going Joseph Benavidez by decision.
Okay.
I don't
and
see
I
any
just
knockouts.
Wanted to go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said, I'm not seeing any knockouts here. The Juicy Ant has no KOs at all. It's all subs and decisions. So, like I say, decision for me.
Okay. So I just wanted to apologize to Benavidez. I forgot that he was in action on January 19th of this year, so he's not really sitting out. Okay, guys. So I think you both are bringing up good points about Benavidez. I think that Benavidez really is, and should have, as I mentioned earlier when Marco went, that he should have had a title shot yet again. We probably should have run that back the third time against Demetrius. I was in favor for that. But, of course, Demetrius is now not in the UFC anymore. We've traded him to 1FC. And, of course, Demetrius in action coming up soon. I'm going to take Benavidez as well. Long story short, guys, I just think that Benavidez is really the more talented fighter. I think that Formiga, he's going to be good everywhere. It's going to hopefully be a great fight against, you know, two guys that are very well matched. But I think Benavidez gets this one done. I'm going to take it by second round TKO.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, Pammy, let's go ahead and move on to everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's Spotlight Fun of the Night. What you got?
All righty. My fight, I think it's going to be interesting and more interesting even so because I am picking, I'm picking Ricardo Ramos.
Ricardo.
He's from Brazil against Jurny Newsom. Ricardo Ramos, 12-2, Jurny Newsom, 7-1. He's 30 years old. He has no height. He's 0-0, 0 feet and 0 inches, versus Ricardo Ramos, who's 5'9". both of these guys Ramos, 3 KO, 6 subs, 3 decisions. Attorney Nelson, 1 KO, 3 subs, 3 decision. I'm taking Ramos by submission. I think it's going second round submission.
Okay. Second round submission for Pammy. Marco, spotlight fight of the night, please.
I'm going to the first fight of the whole night. Heavyweight, Maurice Green versus Diaper Baby, Junior Albini. I want to see Albini win, dude. I think the guy is fun for the division. But Brazil needs some new heavyweights, you know, because all their heavyweight champions and legends are either getting too old or retired already. So, yeah, give me Junior Albini by knockout on the second round.
Okay. All right, so let me just give you guys the odds on your fights real quickly. Ramos, Pammy, is at a minus 335.
Wow.
Journey Newson, is at a plus 275. And let's go to your fight, Marco. Albini and Green are even right now at a minus 110. So that's a push if you're betting on Marco's fight of the night. My fight of the night, of course, is going to be even money, My fight of the night is obviously going to be spotlight fight of the night is obviously going to be the backpack himself, Damian Maya.
Damian Maya.
He's coming at it.
Jansen.
Jansen, that's right. He's coming at us at a minus 185, and his opponent, Anthony Ricardo Martin, at a plus 160.
Rocco.
Okay. Sorry, my bad. I apologize, but I'm still going to take Damian Maya here, the favorite, as my spotlight fight of the night. And I think these are the kind of fights, you know, they're really talented fighters that in the co-main event that kind of get us juiced up for maybe the, you know, main event that might just end real quickly. But I think Maya gets this done, second round submission.
Amen.
All right, guys, we are ahead of schedule. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go to a little bit of AMP Radio Rewind. Marco, why don't you cue that?
Rewind.
All right, guys, so let's go ahead and start with the one question that I had for you, Marco, and I'll start with you because I know that you're not a Bellator fan. What is happening with Bellator this weekend, man? So much confusion about where you could watch the main event. Of course, what a main event it was because the title ended up changing hands. I mean, if we go – and just a recap of from last week's show, no one won. Everybody picked the Korean
Everybody
Zombie.
Sucked.
Nobody picked – that's
Everybody
right. Every, that's correct. Everybody sucks.
Participation trophy.
That's right. Everybody gets a little.
Everybody
gets a little sash. That's right.
Oh,
yeah, because you know we all picked Musashi, we all picked the Zombie, and of course the Lineker Font fight fell through. But Marco, what is going on with Bellator? What happened with this Musashi fight? Because when we talked about it last weekend, the Musashi fight was supposed to be the main event, but nobody ended up being able to watch it. So what's going on?
Yeah, what was going on? I read about that.
Bellator,
I was confused.
It's going to Bellator, man. Why do I always tell you about Bellator? Bellator is going to Bellator. Last week it was a clusterfuck. You know, why is the point of having that son? You're paying for a streaming service to get your fights exclusively on that son, and they're not going to stream the fights because of, broadcasting freaking licensing issues with other freaking networks.
Was that what it was?
That is.
Can we confirm that that's what it was?
That is the question I've been hearing. And, I mean, and then they gave us two on tape delay, not even on tape delay. Tape delay! We cannot see the freaking main event? It is ridiculous, man. All they're doing is undermining the fan base here in the United States. I mean, it's bad enough that Viacom is already torn up, tuned out of what MMA is. You know, the Paramount Network is not really a network for fights. And they basically gave that son the rights to broadcast freaking Bellator for almost nothing. I mean, the numbers they're giving up there for the broadcasting rights for Bellator are laughable compared to the money that the boxers are getting and compared to the money that USC got from ESPN. The Bellator money is laughable. But you know what, man? Bellator is making it really, really, really difficult for me to even follow them, and I want to get them a chance. I know I shit on them a lot, but they got some quality fighters there that deserve to be looked at, like Musashi, like Lovato Jr., that pulled out one of the biggest upsets of the year, but you don't get to see it. Not even on tape delay, man. I mean, that is a freaking alea. It's like more easier than alea. It's like an open goal freaking kick, and man, it pissed me off. I don't know what's going on with Bellator, man. Cocky needs to figure it out, or a Bellator is going to get rid of Bellator and sell it to that zone, or whatever they're going to do, because they're doing it the wrong way, man.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm not too sure what was going on with that, but again, shout out to the, you know, the title changing hands. You know, unfortunately, you know, I was looking for the news, and nothing came up. But Lovato Jr., I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I also thought that, you know, Lovato would be a problem for Musashi, and it turned out that way. But Pammy, I want to throw to you because you were alluding to the fact that you were confused about this, but you did say last week that you were going to watch that bare knuckle boxing fight, and I don't like to really touch on it. I really don't like to touch on this because I think it's, you know, low hanging fruit, but it has been very popular, Pammy, in the news right now. I mean, did you watch that fight between Lobov?
I did. Hell yeah, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
And it was funny because it was just still the same thing, drama going back and forth even before the fight started. Paulie's camp came in saying that Artem's hands were wrapped, that the knuckles weren't wrapped far enough, and so they had to rewrap. And then Artem's camp going and saying that Paulie had like scented Vaseline on, so they had to take all the Vaseline off and reapply the Vaseline. So it was just like still back and forth. And there was some fun fights. Do you remember from the Tough House? I just want to bang, bro. Do you remember the guy? I just want to bang, bro. That he actually fought. And he was pretty good. And then Lieben fought. But the most, you know, that you're excited and hyped up for this Paulie and Lobov fight. Honey, I was trying to keep my eyes open. Lerone fell asleep. That's how boring the fight was. Lerone freaking fell asleep on the couch. And I'm like, and he said, just wake me up when the fight starts. So I was like, dude, the fight's on. And it was so boring. I was expecting, like, you know, the bad blood. And I was expecting these guys to just duke it out. And they did not. You know, it was...
Right.
I don't know, but it's still fun to watch. I'm still digging it.
Dakota Cochran knocking out Chris Lieben was pretty cool, but when it comes to the Lobov Paulie Malignaggi fight, I mean, it was what it was.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't pay for it though. I didn't pay for it. You know what, the Malignaggi and Lobov fight, great promotion for the, you know, great publicity for the promotion, but I do not know how the hell are they going to replicate this, because this is the most publicity that they're ever going to get, because everybody was talking about this fight, and the fight did not deliver, and now that Paulie Malignaggi lost, you know, he kind of sort of embarrassed himself, because he's the two-time boxing champion, and you know, the who fought the MMA fighter with a 500 record, and he lost, and now he effectively retired. The BKFC lost their golden goose, man. The guy that got all the freaking heat with the corner cam and all that shit, they lost that. They're not gonna be able to replicate this again, dude. So it's gonna my prediction, and I don't wish them any bad, man, but they spent way too much money with Paulie. They pick his 7 figures, man. And after Lobov got a really good paycheck, too, for what the reports are. They're going to go the way of freaking Elite XC and Affliction. They pay way too much money to the fighters, and they eventually flame out. This thing is like a – they eat it right now, but it's going to flame out too, man, because they're not going to be able to afford the fighters that are paying. They're overpaying a little bit too much, and they're not going to get the same publicity that they got from this fight. And I don't know. The model they got with all the fighters, if they don't cultivate new fighters and make it like something sustainable, it's going to go away. And it's going to be a shame because I got the team, but the previous fight before the main event, there was some good fights before the main event. And then the main event happened and it kind of sort of was a letdown. Congratulations
right.
to Loma, though. Congratulations to Loma, though. He won.
Yeah.
I mean, he could go either way. I get the first two rounds to Paulie. I get the last two rounds to Loma. And the round in between, the third round is the one that we can debate who won it. But I'm not upset. Love and won. Good for him.
Yeah, and guys, I didn't want to give this any kind of shine, but I think we needed to talk about it because it was all filler and no killer. Anyways, let's move right along, guys. And I wanted to bring in the big boss man himself coming into the show right now. So I'm going to go ahead and drop his music so that he can comment on the last article on this particular show. The original B-Boy himself. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ! DJ!
DJ!
Coming at you late. Sorry I'm late, and I do give an F. Sorry, guys.
Hey,
management
Tony.
Called, and I had to take care of it. Sorry.
Hey, Tony.
No, it's all good, man. Life gets in the way sometimes. Go ahead.
You're way past fashionably late, man.
I apologize, guys. Sorry. It's management
it's
called.
We're just roasting
you. We had a big thing, and then Artem Lobov called me and said, hey, thanks for the cheese because I really stole that one. listen, I really do want to say this, and we'll move on because you guys are doing a great job. I just want to say this, and Marco was right on the money, so was Pam on this. Listen, guys, this piece of crap, BKFC6, got more viewers than Bellator's mess, and that was one hell of – probably the best card of that weekend and whatever the UFC is doing. So even though this is a piece of crap, I guarantee you guys, they made more pay-per-view money than the other two combined.
Well, as we said,
pay-per-view on that
earlier
was 30
on
bucks.
The show, yeah, as we said earlier on in the show, DJ Tony, Bellator definitely dropped the ball on this one. Guys, I need to move on because we need to get this wrapped up. But DJ Tony, I'm going to throw to you because we're going to highlight the performance of the night bonus, of course, from UFC Fight Night 154. The Korean Zombie goes ahead and gets that one done real quick and apparently does it in, exquisitely good fashion, not only throwing one, but throwing two and making sure that KO goes. So go ahead, DJ Tony, let's throw to you to recap the Korean Zombie doing the zombie things.
It's amazing what this guy does, right? Because he was actually, how much time has he had away versus
yeah.
being in the ring for his career? I don't know what he is, 33, 32, whatever he is. This guy's amazing, you guys. Fights with reckless abandon. I don't know what's in his future, and it's interesting what we'll see. I don't know if we're going to do an up-down report, or we have actually more stuff on than we can handle. But this was the only reason worth watching this entire card, in my opinion. Guys, shout out
right.
to Andrea KGB Lee and Ashley Spider Monkey Yoder. But this guy's something else. I don't know what the featherweight division holds, but this guy needs a title fight, and it's amazing. First round TKO in 58 seconds, both coming off a loss. Shout out to the Zombie.
Yeah, and we talked about it earlier, DJ Tony, that this pretty much was the only reason to watch the UFC this weekend, despite the text messages or the Twitter messages that Dana White was sending out to pump up the fights. apparently he pumped up the first fight of the night. Said that's the way to start a card. Anyways, Pammy, let's throw to you. Chan Sung Jung, as DJ Tony alluded to, the Korean Zombie. What, he's got 9 fights in the UFC, and of course he's been in the UFC for like what, 9 years. Of course, he had 2 years off due to military service, but I think that, as we mentioned on this show in previous years, that probably was really good for him because he was able to let his brain rest. We talked about the fact that he had a pretty easy job in the Korean military, but let's throw to you and talk about this fight because it didn't last very long, did it?
No, it didn't last very long, and it was, I mean, it was just like, it was just amazing, and the crowd support that he had was amazing too. And you know, the only thing that I take away from this is there was so much going on that night, fight-wise, that I even almost forgot the fight was. You know, because you had UFC, you had Bellator, you had bare-knuckle boxing, you had Glory Fights was on that night too. And we were trying to watch everything, and it was just a little bit, I think, of oversaturation of fights, you know, because I mean, I want to see everything.
Good.
I don't want to just, you know, I want to watch everything. And it was kind of like almost like too overstimulating for the mind that you were like, wait, who just fought? Was that, you know, you kind of forgot like who fought because you saw so many dang fights Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know? And you had to jump through hoops, right, Pammy, to get through all of the events. Marco, let's throw to you real quickly for your thoughts on this fight. What did you think about the performance? Did you think that, you know, it was, you know, a performance that against a guy who was worthy of Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie, to jump up to number one contender status, as DJ Tony was saying?
Okay, slow your roll on that one. First of all, there was also a boxing on Fox,
right.
So there was a lot of fighting going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The overall card, man. It was super entertaining. It was cool that the prelims went to ESPN proper. They were supposed to be on ESPN 2, but they switched it to ESPN proper, so they got a lot of eyeballs on it, put it that way, just because they were on main ESPN.
Yeah.
Even though there was a lot of fights that went to a decision, all of the fights were super entertaining. Randy Brown did really good on the co-main. You know, he was the co-main by default because, you know, Lineker...
By default, because
Lineker had to step out because of a cut the day before the weigh-ins. But the main event,
right.
The Korean Zombie got a cold following. I mean, this guy, in the 9 years he has been in the UFC, is 7-2. He has averaged a fight a year. Not only is he so foul, you know, because he's seriously injured. He got the Korean military thing. He only has 9 fights within the WEC and the UFC round that he got with Sufa. And this guy have a cold following like this, man. And it was so super cool to see it. The song, his walk-up song, perfect. Zombie, give me a break. That was freaking awesome. And the way that he beat Moicano ranked number 5 in the world, Korean Zombie coming at number 12, it puts Korean Zombie immediately on the conversation. The only reason Zombie doesn't merit the title shot right now is because he's coming off a loss of Jair Rodriguez, the fight that he was waiting until he lost in the last second, and because you got guys like Ortega.
Part of the year contender, by the way.
Yeah. And knockout of the year contender, too, from last year,
right.
November of last year. But you got guys like Sabib, Ortega, and you got, of course, Frankie Max fighting for the title soon. And you got, of course, Volkanovski waiting on the wings. I mean, let's not jump off the Volkanovski bandwagon already. We just saw him beat Jose Aldo. And by merit alone, Volkanovski deserves to be the next contender after the Edgar freaking Holloway fight. But I will not be unhappy to see the Korean Zombie fight the winner of Sabid versus freaking Ortega. That would be a great fight for the next guy after the Volkanovski Volkanovski fight the winner of Frankie versus Max. But he's on the mix. He's on the conversation. Even a rematch with freaking Jair wouldn't be a bad idea right now because I would think that Zombie would like to get that one back because he knew he was winning the fight until that freaking elbow from hell that knocked him out on the last second.
Yep.
So that's my opinion on that.
All right, guys. I mean, a great show. You guys, we broke everything down. Wonderful. Thank you very much, DJ Tony, for joining us at the last minute. But, Pammy, let's throw to you because it's time for the Twitter follow of the week or guilty pleasures. No, it's good to hear your voice. I wasn't trying to be manipulative at all. It's great to hear you. Pammy, you have a guilty pleasure? Do you have a Twitter follow? Let's throw to you. What you got going on?
I have been watching, which is, I think it's cool, and I think I told you guys, is it Animal Kingdom? Is anybody watching Animal Kingdom with Ellen Barkin? And it's just a cool show. So I binge watch that.
No.
I'm doing The Spanish Princess, which is really cool. So I'm watching The Spanish Princess.
Hang on, let's go back to the Animal Kingdom. Hang on 1 second. Let's go back to the Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. What is that available on, Pam?
It is on WGN?
Okay,
is that right?
Well, Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
Put it in your Google
awesome.
Search. What was your second
it
one?
It has nothing to do
what
with animals. Yeah. It's a very
TNT,
cool show.
TNT.
Cool. Is it TNT? Okay.
TNT. Thank you, DJ
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, no, you need to check it out. It's cool.
All right. So, DJ Tony, you joined us late because of life gets in the way, but let's go ahead. Do you have a Twitter follow or do you have a guilty pleasure of the week?
I'll tell you, it's a guilty pleasure that both you and I watch, and I don't know how the heck we have time on this. Marco may do it too. Maybe Pam does. I know millions of people do it. No, not joking. Joe Rogan podcast, guys. This has become the premier platform for anyone, period. Whether it's a TV show or YouTube, whatever. Joe Rogan, shout out to him, man, because he talks about everything under the sun. Politics, you name it. Shout out to Joe Rogan. So my Twitter follow at Joe Hogan.
Yeah, don't try to talk to him, Noah, because he won't ever respond because that's not what he does. Listen, guys, this week, Proteus's shower pick. And of course, if you wanted to follow along with Proteus's shower pick, if you're a new listener to the show, just go ahead on to YouTube and type in Proteus, and that'll come up. My profile will come up, and just choose shower picks.
Are you showering?
And unfortunately, no, I'm not. There's no picture of me showering, but I could change it to it if that would make you look at it more often, Pammy.
Boo! Boo!
No, kind of like remember earlier, Bert when. When Ernie would sit in the tub with his rubber ducky, that's what you need to do. Rubber ducky.
Rubber ducky.
Yeah, you go, see?
Yeah, exactly. I got it. I know the song. I'll do it for you. I'll get that out. Anyways, switching gears. I put a song on the Shower Picks link that is a Polish band. It's a Polish death metal band, and I'm not going to disgrace their band name or their song name with me trying to pronounce it because I'm not Polish. It's a good tune. It's a little bit gothic, DJ Tony, like your Nightwish stuff that you want me to listen to that I don't really like, but
woo-hoo!
I'm getting into it because of your influence. All right, so let's move along to the star of the show so he can close out this show. Marco, you have a guilty pleasure this week, or you have a Twitter follow that you want to tell us about? What you got going on? And close this show up.
You know, I've been on this rabbit hole of UFOs and stuff. And I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast last week with Bob Lazar, famous from Area 51. That directed me to Netflix and the documentary Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucer. I'm going to check it out. And I was actually super impressed. You make your own opinion, but, you know, watch it and judge it yourself. It was really interesting. I was like, okay, cool. And with all the noise that we have it lately about this, you know, Navy aviators and stuff and naval radar operators telling us that they are seeing shit on the West Coast and the East Coast that we're not supposed, nobody's ever supposed to have. You start putting one and one together and two together, like, okay, maybe something is going on here. But, you know, I don't want to sound like freaking Eddie Bravo, so that is my guilty pleasure of the week. Follow Tony and I am Tony. Follow producer and produce. Follow Father Pandora Box. Follow me, Amaldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Red on Review, Stango Cast, Red on iTunes, Google Play. We are on freaking Black Talk Radio. Give us a nice review. Fight this weekend on ESPN proper. You know what? How to fight it. We'll at least you guys can get a treat. Enjoy the fight.
And just like that, Pammy.
Out of here. Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.